Good morning. Welcome to Tim Hyman Court for a celebration of Tim Hyman's life. On behalf of Tim's beautiful wife, Kathy, four incredible children, Carrie, Cammy, Kevin, Chris, their significance, Ryan, Doug, Max, and Lucy, Christy, a bevy of Cusick and Lawrence people from close and afar, thank you for joining us today in this celebration. To get us started with a very somber event, Cammy, do you have a whistle, by the way? Anybody else want to rival that? Thank you. Dude, just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Yeah! This is the tone we want to set, all right? I mean, it's kind of like this, okay? Wow to the size of the crowd. Wow to a welcome back to winter. Tim's assembled a great starting lineup for us this morning to honor his life. And in just a bit of time, we'll introduce those people to you, many of them known to you already. I'd like to suggest to you that as we honor Tim Hyman's life on Tim Hyman Court, all of us are honored to be here. The timing's a bit too a lot off, isn't it? We want to do this 20 to 30 years from now. It is what it is, and with that in mind, I'd like to suggest to you, and I'll honor some people as we go along. My name is Topper Steinman. I go back to 1970 with Tim Hyman. And if you'll indulge me for a bit, I'd like to spend a couple minutes with you, and then I'll get off and on to the very important people in front of you. It was November 21st, 1966. My football legs, and that's very obvious to you, because we shrink if we get older. I used to be 6'4", about 3'4". But my football legs still on. I'm bringing a wonderful basketball move from Freeport, Illinois. And this is a very true story where I'm going to, in fact, some little run about my size out in the box that you're with me. And I'm backing down, and I'm going to make that move that always works. I'm going to go quickly this way, and then come back, and obviously take it to the hole, and fool across the charge. I just maybe spend my time reading the 814. There's six more of these in the Hyman Living Room, by the way. Cards and letters, and we'll be done about the end of next week. March 4th, 2009. By the way, I'm going to charge. When he got back up.
get the ball back and try to throw the charge again. It's not a charge, it's a blocking foul. I never knew if I went 3-2 until I remember I've been in 4 years.
March 13th, 2009. Tim drew what we might think is his final charge, only it's not. Our phone rings at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's Cammy, and my wife answers, and I hear on the other end, "Oh, Cammy, we're so sorry." That evening, at 12:47, Tim took his final charge. Kevin, and if you ever want the recipe, by the way, on how to love and support and nurse ratchet a human being, ask Kathy for the video on that, if you will. Kevin goes in at 12:30 a.m., Friday the 13th, and says, Dad, you won't believe this. Syracuse and Connecticut just took it to 6 overtimes. They decided to not take it to a 7th, and so did Tim. Here's my challenge as you listen to 6 people speak with us today. Tim Hyman has not taken a final charge. His spirit lives on, his life lives on, his legacy lives on, and we're going to see to that this morning in the words that you'll hear from 6 people. 1,006 of you could be up here now, from the Andersons to the Morins to the Dukes and Nance, all sorts of people, and I'm hesitant to mention names, Calandros and Colbys, and I mean all those people that are out there. You could all be up here now. So the thought is, do we have 106 people or 1,006 people or 6 people represent varied perspectives, and these 6 are honored to be and share with us this morning. From different perspectives, I'd like to start with a gentleman who graduated from Knox in 1963, was named interim president in the summer of 2001, became, by the astute wisdom of the Board of Trustees, taken away the interim label, president of Knox College in February of 2002. There are few people that have a passion and a belief in Knox College beyond what this gentleman does. Few people have a belief and a passion for Tim Hyman beyond what this gentleman does. Join me in welcoming President Roger Taylor. Thank you.
As Topper said, my name is Roger Taylor, and I was graduated from this terrific college in 1963. Tim Hyman was graduated in 1970. As Tim often said, he came to Knox in 1966 and he never left. Tim came to study. He stayed to serve. He served until the end. Tim served our college in a variety of roles: admissions counselor, head resident, assistant dean of students, coach of baseball, football, tennis, basketball, professor of sports studies, major gift officer in fundraising. It was as the head men's basketball coach that he was best known by most, as evidenced by the fact that his name has been immortalized in this Knox basketball and volleyball court. It would not be possible to name or even to count up the number of Knox students and parents whose lives Tim and Kathy touched. But the number of Tim's former student athletes who are here with us this morning to pay respect gives us some idea. Tim Hyman will be remembered as a coach who professed and practiced the Knox ideal, that both words in the term student-athlete, both words counted. He will be remembered as a husband, a father, a grandfather. Less well-known on most of the campus was that Tim Hyman lived another part of the Knox ideal, a lifelong love of learning. Tim read. He read broadly. He read widely. He read constantly. Little wonder that both words counted for him, student and athlete. Little wonder that so many Knox students sought out Tim Hyman for academic advice. Tim Hyman thought less about himself and more about others. Let me give you two examples. During the 2007-2008 season, our fierce rival to the East, Monmouth College, introduced a new basketball coach, a new head men's basketball coach. The new Monmouth coach and his team struggled. The new Monmouth coach received increasing heat from the diehard Monmouth fans. On February 13, 2008, the Fighting Scots won the men's basketball game against the Prairie Fire 58-52. Immediately after the game, the Register Mail asked Tim what happened. Tim said, "I was outcoached." As the president of Monmouth College pointed out to me, and as I will always believe, Tim wasn't outcoached at all. But he thought that if he said to the press that he had been outcoached in the Knox-Monmouth basketball game, that would quell some of the critics of the young Monmouth coach. And according to the Monmouth president, it did. Second example. On February 16th, Tim and Kathy came to Old Main so that Tim could say in person that because he'd only been given 2 more years to live and because the medical treatments that he needed to receive might sap his energy, he might not be able to perform at 100% in his fundraising responsibilities for the college. Tim had such a sense of responsibility for our college that he came to Old Main to say in person that his illness might affect his work. 10 days later, Tim and Kathy came back to Old Main. Tim said that the timeline had moved dramatically and in the wrong direction. But the main reason Tim came back to Old Main was not to give us that news. During that meeting, Tim was not preoccupied with his impending death. He had come to grips with that. Tim came back to Old Main to say in person that he wasn't going to get his fundraising work done. And Tim had such a sense of responsibility for our college that he came to say in person how disappointed he was that he wasn't going to finish it. Thank God Bev Holmes thought fast enough to tell Tim that he had already laid the groundwork. He had gotten his work for Knox College done. And so you had, Tim, for which we will always be grateful and which we will never forget.
Roger, thank you. If you're confused at all about Knox College or what Roger might believe, you might check out this most recent Growing Up Knox magazine. I can't imagine anyone who's grown up Knox or growing up Knox any better than Roger Taylor and a Tim Hyman combination, except some other people that are up here. And Roger, he started recruiting at a pretty young age, don't you think? He's with second graders, for crying out loud, huh? That's future Knox generations right there. Roger, your words are well appreciated. Thank you very much. You could know Tim. By the way, if you're a player, we'll spin in with a few of these. So if you're playing now and you've played, you're at Knox and you're an active athlete and you've had Tim Hyman under your tutelage right now as an athlete, I know there's a bunch of you who have had him before, but stand up. If you're one of those who's had him, stand up. Stand up. Where are you? Applaud them. If you've ever been a parent, I'll spill these out. If you've ever been a parent of a student athlete who's attended Knox, and you've got incredible debt to a Tim Hyman of this world, stand up, will you? You're a parent of somebody who, stand up, will you? That's why Tim Hyman did what Tim Hyman did. I don't care if you've known him for 40 years, which some of the people up here have, including myself, or 6 or 7 or 8, like our next speaker has. Tim Hyman impacted your life. When Kathy and Carrie and Cammie and Kevin and Chris read through letters and were trying to decide, how do we get 872 people down to 6? It's an impossible task, absolutely impossible task. This person began at Knox, I believe, in 2001. The present vice president for advancement at Knox in 2008 was Tim Hyman's most recent boss, may have known him the most limited amount of time, and guaranteed Tim Hyman has impacted her life. Join me in welcoming Beverly Holmes. Bev.
Thank you, Topper. If you can hear me and understand what I'm saying this morning, then you are celebrating one of the gifts that Tim Hyman brought to Knox College and this Memorial Gym renovation. You see, it isn't just the court of this gymnasium that is named for Tim Hyman, but in his new role as a major gift officer that began just about a year ago, after his retirement as head basketball coach, Tim was responsible for finding the funds to complete the renovation of this gym. So he went on the road in search of friends and funds for a variety of Knox priorities. Priorities like making sure that students, parents, alumni, and local fans attending basketball and volleyball games in this venue and events like today's tribute could actually hear the announcer call the plays and speakers like today's assembled group impart our stories. Tim's 30-year relationship with a basketball player that he'd coached, cajoled, and huddled with at the K at center court led to the 5-figure gift that funded the speaker system for the gym. Not bad for someone who, upon arrival at his new job and advancement, said apprehensively, "I've never asked anyone for anything." We quickly learned that Tim was very low tech. He promised to learn to type and actually check email. And he actually did learn how to reply to a few emails by typing. He learned Microsoft Word so he could type his reports of his visits with alumni rather than submit them scribbled in pencil on a legal pad. And the pencil did remain his writing instrument of choice to the end. When he proudly submitted his first visit report and received it back with some corrections on it, Tim was heard to comment to Bob King, his new boss, "Geez! Even Bill Brady didn't make that many corrections." Coach Hyman left a private office in the field house to join 2 other officers in an office shared by all 3. He purposely chose the middle cubicle, sandwiched in between the other 2, so he could pick up tips and learn from both how to become a good fundraiser for Knox. In the end, both Mark Wilson and Jim Lynch became the students, gaining insights about alumni and developing relationships from Tim. On many days, Tim arrived at work with a canister of you name it sitting in the crook of his arm that for years had cradled a basketball. Some of those days, it was still warm chocolate chip cookies baked by Kathy. Other days, it was Donna Lindsay's puppy chow snack mix. And if you've never had that, it's fabulous. And thanks to Tim's close relationship with the president of the William Wrigley Jr. Company, we enjoyed frequent deliveries of Double Mint, Juicy Fruit, and Skittles. Sorry, Duke, but there were also Hershey's Kisses on Tim's desk, wrapped in gold and purple foil. And when you leave today, there is a basket of Tim's Kisses waiting outside for you. For all the ribbing Tim took about his low-tech approach, he brought high touch to a new art form. And that's why so many of you here today have traveled hours and maybe even days to honor a man who preferred looking you in the face rather than commenting on your Facebook page, who preferred calling you on the phone and laughing with you rather than sending a silent email via cyberspace. You could never not have a conversation with Tim. Perfect eye contact, that easygoing smile that curled up even higher as he was listening to you, a gentle hand on your shoulder, and an earnest sense of interest that were noticed by everyone. At the end, he'd say, "Kiddo, that was fun. Let's do this again." And like his mentor, Harley Nosher, Tim had a memory for details. He never referred to the computer database to learn anything about the decades of alumni he knew, as he knew more about them than the computer. Give him a name, and we were in for an information dump. The dissertation would always start with, "Greatest guy, greatest gal ever, loves Knox." Everybody in Tim's mind loved Knox, and he could find something good to say about everyone. And if by chance a name stumped him, Kathy was his phone-a-friend. I'm sorry to inform you that there are many of you here today who we know a little more about than you might want us to know, thanks to Tim and Kathy. In the few months Tim was actively involved in advancement, he raised close to $100,000 for various Knox projects, and over the past 2 years, around $400,000 in gifts have been made with the caveat that I'm making this gift because of my relationship with Tim Hyman. As Tim huddled with us over the past 11 months to update us on his personal victories and his letdowns, he always asked everyone else how they were doing before he talked about his own issues. As he spent time in Chicago undergoing operations and treatments, his days were frequently filled with lunch, dinner, and phone calls with alumni. Everyone wanted time with Tim. Tim's Major Gifts teammates gave me the following things for which, thanks to Tim, they and we all have a better understanding of the importance of: making every day count, of being positive, of making others feel good, of smiling often, of being a good listener, of being proud of Knox College. Almost every conversation with Tim drew to a close with a few sentences like this that seemed quite fitting for today. "Listen, kiddo, I've got to go, but it was great talking to you. We'll do it again soon."
Bev, thank you. You can see in the span of getting to know him, as in Tim, lives were impacted and affected. And Bev's one more measure of that in the number of people. If you so for those insightful thoughts and words, Tim continues to smile. So have you ever played, if you ever played basketball, football, tennis, baseball? For Tim Hyman, stand up. If you ever played basketball, baseball, football, tennis, for Tim Hyman, stand up. Applaud that notion. Applaud that notion. The back of the program, and you got to know Knox College, because when Kathy and the family are putting this together, and I happened to drop in a couple weeks ago, we're trying to put some finishing touches on it. We make a frantic call in the afternoon that I happen to show up. Can anybody? And then the next thing you know, the director of public relations is sitting in Kathy's living room. The Kerry Hartlines of this place and the Megan Scotts of this place. And there's too many to mention, but put this together. So you catch a Timism on the back. Anyone on? Anyone not listed? You can. This is G-rated, so be careful. But is there one not listed you want? Shout it out. Shout it out. Come on, let's hear you. A pen is mightier than the sword. The pen is mightier. Thank you. Anybody got one other? Outstanding comes in down here. White Sox win the World Series, huh? You know, we could have read, and they're in here somewhere, could have read from you letters like a Max Euser talks about, you know, he got to know Tim and didn't like him. Professor of journalism in Kansas. Then get to know him a little better and still doesn't like you. And then get to know him through baseball and basketball and still doesn't like you. And then some switch flips and he kind of likes him. He begins to recognize they all have something in common. They hate the Cubs, you know. I mean, a White Sox Cardinal fan. And then he recognizes as he touches the lives of himself and others how much he really loves him. Max is regretfully unable to make it here today. Could have done Jody and Kurt Pearson. I don't know if you're here today, Jody and Kurt, but 7 days, life lessons from Tim Hyman. Read good stuff. Second day, this arrives. Always dress well. Basketball picture at the K, and Tim has no shoes on. Just came in from football practice. Rebounding is the most important part of the game, especially on the weak side of a zone. Third life lesson. Enjoy good food. Picture shows Tim boxing out Jorge Prats at the dinner table in Spain. Hello, Jorge. I should have done that in Spanish. Always ride in the station wagon. Some of you know why. I'll tell those of you that don't. No Walkmans in the station wagon. No iPods in the station wagon. Something called rich conversation in the station wagon. We'll plug in and learn and live with each other. Lesson 6 says nothing better than being part of a great team in sports or in marriage. One of our speakers will talk more eloquently than I can about that. Enjoy your time in the court. It's a short season. It's hard to get that one out. Our next speaker has known Tim his entire life. Graduated from Knox, 1989, 4-year starter. I'll do this while I'm about to introduce this person.
Dave, this is a good time to do this, and I'll talk loud enough so you can hear me. Awkward. Duke and Nancy stand up, please. Seriously, stand up, please. And Tom and Sue stand up, please. And Bob and I stand up, please. And David Workman here, stand up, please. And all those people who gave to allow that to happen, you'd all be standing up. So applaud Tim Hyman. Thank you.
I have the underneath of a table in the gizmo named after me. I don't know who put it there, but I'm pretty honored, as a matter of fact. .1989 Knox graduate, four-year starter, averaged 32.8 points a game. I told David that. He said, go with it. Their memories are short. I don't know. He
held Tim and Kathy's hand when he was that small, and he's held it for the rest of his life.
I'm proud to introduce to you the brother of Kyle and the son of Tom and Sue, David Anderson. David.
Thanks, Topper. It's good to see a lot of good friends in the gym today. I want to start with a quick story about friends. It's a tribute to Tim that my dad wrote as advice to his grandchildren. I don't think Tom realized it was a poem, but it was, and I titled it Find a Friend. Find a friend who loves what you love, who loves to play games, and whether opponent or partner will laugh with you afterwards. Find a friend who marries someone you and your spouse also love. Find a friend who is curious and loves to read and listen and engage. Find a friend who your sons and daughters would choose as coach and cherish the experience. Find a friend who loves your children and you love theirs. Find a friend to walk the beach. Find a friend who loves gin and tonic on the porch. And a friend whose home is also your home. Find a friend who would tell you when you're full of it. Find a friend who can talk about death and the White Sox in the same conversation. If you find such a friend, 40 years will not seem long enough. All right, I had to get those words out first while I still had some composure. Words, as Roger said, Tim loved words. And there's a line about words in one of my favorite books. It's called I Am the Messenger by Marcus Zusak. There's a protagonist is a 19-year-old having trouble finding his path in life and gets help in some unusual places. At one point, he's worried about how he will be remembered. And he says, I want words at my funeral. I want words at my funeral, but I guess that means you need life in your life. The character realized that for there were to be words when it's over. And as Coach always said, it's over before you know it. There has to be life in your life. And we can all agree that Tim had life in his life, so there'll be many words today. I don't expect our words to adequately convey how deeply we'll miss him, or how much we appreciate him, or how much we loved him. But we will try. As Tim would say, what the heck, what the heck. Coach loved discussion, debates, books. We're here in the gym because we don't fit in his office, or Cinema 7, the gizmo, the station wagon, his living room, all the places where we talked to Tim. Some of my first memories of Coach were right here in this gym during Bucks basketball camp. The Sunday night lecture, sometimes Harley gave it, sometimes Tim. The Sunday night lecture was always how to win, how to lose, how to love. Like most things around here, it wasn't your typical basketball fundamentals, X's and O's type lecture. It was emotional. The topic may have been basketball, but the subject was life. You win with courage, character, humility. When you lose, you do so with dignity, respect, having given it your all. And most importantly, you learn to love. Love the game, love your teammates, love your coach. This is a gym full of people who learn those things from Coach. I told him that since I was 8 years old, it feels like we're living the Sunday night lecture. How to win. We're at Monmouth my sophomore year. A good memorial service, like a good Sunday night lecture, has to have a beating Monmouth story. We're at Monmouth, down one, with the ball, 6 seconds to go. Coach calls timeout. We huddle up, hearts are racing, ready for play. The coach is standing there with that big smile, just looking at us. He says, isn't this fun? And he paused, still smiling, and said it again, isn't this fun? And we're like, yeah, coach, but what are we going to do? He just keeps smiling. You know how when he found, you know, said something he found profound, he'd just repeat it over and over again. So he says it again, isn't this fun? And then we broke the huddle. As we broke the huddle, he said, get the ball to Marco. And that was it. And we did. We ended up getting the win in overtime. But we learned that when the gym is full and the game's on the line, the important thing is to make sure you're enjoying it. Coach enjoyed the wins. How to lose. Oh, I lost it. Did I turn that off? Turn that off. How to lose. Coach taught me one of the best lessons of my life after a loss at Illinois College. It was a bad night for me. I think I had 5 fouls and 2 technicals. After a long ride home from Jacksonville, Coach had it figured out. Most coaches would have wanted to leave me in Jacksonville. But he knew what I needed to hear. His words made me not just a better basketball player, but a better person. The past few weeks, I've read a lot of stories from other players with their own versions of these conversations. We all had them. He coached the games, but sometimes I think the games are just the way he figured out who we were and what we needed to learn, what we could learn together. How to love. When I tried to pick an example of how to love, I kept thinking about Coach always saying, I love you, kid, to his players. I'm not going to use that as an example for learning how to love because the cynic in me thinks that's just what Coach said when you got an offensive rebound and stuck it back in. I think it needs to be said, to be true to his memory, that there were times when Coach was full of it. But we loved him anyway, and even if he was full of it at times, he did mean it when he said, I love you, kid. The story I'd like to share about how to love is the most recent. I was in Galesburg a few weeks ago in his kitchen. Cammie was answering the phone. All of us were calling, letting Tim know we were thinking about him. Somebody would call, and Cammie would write the name down on a post-it note and stick it on the door frame. And the door frame was covered with post-it notes. Many I recognized the names, the even more I didn't. Each yellow post-it note, just a name, but you knew there was a story about how to love represented by each one. I also saw friends gathered in Coach's living room, traditional mix of the Knox community, players, professors, neighbors, family. I saw his friends boosting his spirits. I saw his daughter taking care of him. His grandson, Max, running around, playing with Spider-Man. We sat in the living room. As Tim grew tired, he put his head on Kathy's shoulders, and she held him, just held him. I drove home wanting to be sad and cry, and I did. I wanted to be angry and swear, and I did. But by the time I got home, all I could tell my wife was that it was a lesson in love. Tim and Kathy were the lesson in love. Whether it was winning, losing, or loving, we're all fortunate to have been a part of it. There was a lot of life in his life. Thanks.
Thoughts, which is the miles that some of you travel to get here. Do I hear a whistle on David's behalf? Thank you, David. The Andersons run deep with the Hymans, and you can see it. I look out to the Bob Syberts and Myrnas, and it's incredible, you know, when you, all those kind of things. And Kathy said, don't go there, you're going to miss some people. And they're going to,
why didn't they mention me?
It'd be impossible, obviously. Mention our next speaker came from Ontario, California, associate professor of law at Laverne University. A 1982 Knox grad, played for Tim 3 years of basketball, decided to learn a little more English in London. Kathy gave me the opportunity about 10 days ago to read this letter. And we simply called Kevin and said, Kevin, could you show up and read it? And I don't know what Kevin's going to do. Been incredibly sick for the last few days. He's going to be no gutless wonder and somehow going to struggle to get through this. Join me in welcoming former athlete, incredible human being, Kevin Marshall. Kevin.
I did have a laugh with myself when Tammy called. I said, there's no way. There is absolutely no way I can read my letter to Coach. And guess what I heard right then? Coach was sitting right here. You gutless wonder? All right, I'm in. Dear Coach, one summer not too long ago, a journalist by the name of Hornbeck reported, excuse me, gentlemen, I must get a typewriter and hammer out a story of an atheist who believes in God. As I reflect on our conversations over the years, I cannot help but recall Hornbeck's frustration with Henry Drummond in the final scene of Inherit the Wind. Like the walrus and the carpenter, we have walked miles together. And we have talked of many things, some silly, some solemn, and whether pigs have wings. We've challenged each other with philosophical riddles as to whether there is such a thing as a good lie, or whether lies can be ranked according to being lies of omission, or lies of commission, whether Dagny Taggart really loved Hank Reardon or Francisco de Anaconda, and who the hell was John Galt, and why did Atlas Shrug? Was Cool Hand Luke really a savior? And was Dragline a devout apostle whose gospel filled hope for the faithful? And let us not forget Leo Buscaglia, Hawkeye, or Trapper John, and their doctrines of love and whether everything is fair in love and war. Yes, my friends. We have spoken many things. As you have with so many of us who are fortunate to pass through your hearts. And we are all better for having humored your Socratic inquiries and for having engaged in the banter. For you demonstrated that the question is as important as an answer and that the next question is even more important to the reformulation of that answer. You coached us as to Monmouth's weaknesses, as to our weaknesses. And as to the weakness of the human condition. At all times demanding that we exercise courage and wisdom as we judge others who similarly are in struggle with their destinies. But I must confess, there was one recurring conversation you and I had that will forever temper my view of grace. Whether there was indeed a proactive God to whom we might pray, and if so, to whom was God to respond upon the mustering of a Hail Mary pass with mutually exclusive outcomes? It was during these conversations that you confided in me that the birth of each of your children brought you the closest to the face of a God. And it was during these conversations that you often reenacted relentlessly Henry Drummond's cross-examination of Matthew Brady, during which he rhetorically questioned whether God spake to Charles Darwin or just to the men who wrote the Bible. And now, on the eve of your final scene, you and I both know that the truth lies somewhere within the briefcase of Henry Drummond, where he placed Darwin's The Origin of the Species and the Bible side by side. You guided us toward light, that you warned us of bigotry and ignorance. You directed us to seek truth and justice, yet reminded us that no one had the right to spit on another's religion or even lack of it. And Coach, it has been through your grace and inspiration that many of us are vigorous, healthy, and happy. It is in this vein that you advanced a Siwashian species of sort. For as Darwin observed, the vigorous, the healthy, and the happy survive and multiply. And yet it is also in this light, it is also in this vein that you've nurtured a light that was and remains constant. And somewhere between the constancy of your light and the Darwinian law of variation lies a truth. A truth that manifests itself through all the hearts and souls you've touched, on and off the hardwood floor. A truth that has been and will continue to be passed on to our children and on to their children for generations to come. The constancy of the light has blessed you, Coach. It's blessed your family. It's blessed all of us who've been granted a place in your extended family. And oh, what an extended family you have. What a legacy you leave behind. My heart will always be at the K. Where there is light. Where I know I will always be able to find you. Perhaps with Henry Drummond, or a cast of other characters with whom we have walked, as we have talked of many things. Thank you.
For any of those of us who might feel that coach-player relationships are pretty connected to the X's and the O's, I would imagine we get a little different perspective from a Kevin Marshall. Kevin, thank you very much. So if you're a colleague at Tim Hyman's, you work with Tim Hyman, you're a neighbor at Tim Hyman's, you're in this Galesburg community with Tim Hyman, stand up, stand up, stand up, where are you?
Tim and I had a private moment February 25th, the day that he becomes aware that those 1 to 2 years shortened to months is shortened to days, and we're sitting in his living room. And then after he picks himself up off the floor from what he said, this next person's letter jumped out. Tim reflects on, I should have been a better father. I should have been a better husband. And that's when I smacked him. Lots of you wrote about this in very touching kinds of ways. So in addition to beyond the X's and the O's and the Darwins and the Bible, Tim Hyman and this incredible woman, Kathy, represented so much in light of being a husband and a wife and a parent. This person's a 1980s graduate of Knox College, psychology instructor at Des Moines Area Community College. Like all the rest of us, isn't sure how she's going to get through what she's got to say. Please join me in welcoming Sonia Crane. Sonia.
Good morning and thank you. I was honored and very touched to be asked to speak here this morning. Unlike many of you here today, Tim was not my coach. But like every one of you here today, Tim was my friend. I'd like to read you the letter I gave him the last time I saw him just a few weeks ago. Dear Tim, yesterday I was looking through pictures and found one of three people who had a great impact on my life, my parents-in-law, and you. The gift of getting to know the three of you came when I was a 19-year-old sophomore at Knox. While many lessons were learned from my connection with the three of you, none was more important and what I learned about family. Even before I got to know you, I could see that your family was important to you. Since you and Kathy were head residents, I had the opportunity to observe you on a daily basis in family interactions. And then I started to get to know you, spending time with you and your family. One of the things that was so clear to me, was how much you love your wife. So many times you would say, pointing your finger at Kathy, and with a voice of determination, I love that woman. It was so powerful to me to see a man, a husband and a father, making it clear to everyone how much he loves his wife. This was something I'd never seen before meeting you. It was something I wanted for my future, and you helped me know it was possible. I also remember going to the library, the public library, to see Look Who's Coming to Dinner and movies at the Barn. In particular, I remember Inherit the Wind and The Thornburgs. With the family room packed with basketball players and your kids, we watched Inherit the Wind via projector. And on another identical occasion, The Thornbirds on television. A memorable moment during The Thornbirds came when the two main characters were having a romantic moment at sunset on a large rock by the ocean. With not a moment's hesitation, you pointed at Kathy and said with determination, I want you on that rock. With all the guys howling, I knew how much more that really meant. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Sonia. Tim left another thought with me February 25th and left 8,300,000 other ones during a lifetime. We'll go on to our final speaker here in a minute, but the other thought he said was, do me a favor, if you will, and much like Sonia's kind of reminded us, if you can say to a few people, If you haven't said something to someone who's real important to you, get some people to say that for me, will you? So if you're now hanging around somebody that's real important to you, I don't have a clue what you're going to tell them, but turn to them and say something to them. Will you right now do that? Go, go. I don't care how weird that was. Been 40 years, Alice. I haven't said it. I love you, kid. If we had a dollar, and I'm right about this. I just know I'm right about this. If we had a dollar for every person's life who was affected by this person, that person, and this next person, we could retire the national debt. I have to be careful now because I could take Harley's 7 minutes in introducing him. To those of you who are 20 and 30 and 40, this is my Tim Heim. I don't know only one other person that could do what Harley's going to do for us today. Her name is Kathy. It'd be too hard and too much. For a 40-year period, this man and his incredible wife, Peg, who I love dearly, have impacted thousands of lives, coached him, coached with him, mentored him, befriended him. The English language does not know ways or words that I know of. To do justice to our final speaker today, please join me in welcoming Harley Notion. Harley.
Thanks, Topper.
You're welcome.
Two things that aren't on my card, I just can't help but say. I know Tim would have loved it if we could have had a crowd like this for some of those ball games that weren't against me. I just had to say it. What a nice crowd. The other thing I can't say. Tim and I met in 1966 when he came to Knox College to play basketball and baseball, both sports that I was fortunate enough to be the coach of at that time. For the next 34 years, from 1966 until 2000, you could say in lots of ways, in terms of our professional lives, Tim and I really and truly were joined at the hip. I mean, we were there together every step of the way. It wasn't just him playing basketball and baseball and me coaching. It was then him coaching basketball, him coaching baseball, him coaching football, then finally women's tennis, all those sports that meant so much to me. It was the summer camps. There's guys in this room who will tell you that maybe there was more accomplished in summer camps in this room than there was during the school year. Because, boy, as co-directors of those camps, we had a fabulous time together, trying to make that the best experience we could for men and women who came from really all over the state to be Bucks campers. So here's all these things that make us connected that most of you would have known about, but there's a couple of things that you might not know. Tim and I both loved those White Sox. I mean, we were into it with those White Sox. And, even more importantly, both of us married our high school sweetheart. And that just even brought us closer together. In the last 10 days, people have asked me, what was the best thing about Tim for you, or what will you miss most about Tim, or what is it that you'll always remember about Tim, or, you know, those kind of questions. And the answer is simple. For me, the key to Tim Hyman was, in our relationship, and I think in his relationship with everyone, is that Tim was the kind of guy who cared enough about you to tell you the truth when you didn't even want to hear it. And that's what I will always treasure the most, because that's what he taught me, and that's how he most significantly affected my life. On that basis, and keeping in mind that Tim was a guy who always told the truth, whether you wanted to hear it or not, with Kathy's permission, I'm going to tell you what I think Tim would say if he were here. And here's what I think he'd say. I think he'd say to the people who have spoken here today, thank you very much. I can't imagine that such wonderful things would have been said about me, but thank you very much. I'm sure that's where he would start. I think he would say to me, Coach, listen, I love you, but you should have played me much more than you played. And we know that's true. To those guys who were his teammates and his classmates, and those women that were here at the same time with he and Kathy, he would say, thank you so much for those great days together as teammates. Thank you for being such good friends all these years and sharing with Kathy and I all the things we've shared. And thank you for the memories that we have of having done everything we could to represent Knox the way we should have. To the people that he coached with at Knox, and who are coaching here now, I'm sure Tim would say, thank you for all the effort you made for all the players you coached. That would be to all those individuals he coached with over the many years up until now. To the people he most recently coached with, to the people that are here now coaching, here's what he'd say. Don't you ever forget that the most important thing in your program is the well-being of the people who play. That's the message he'd leave with you. I know it with all my heart. To opposing coaches, he would probably say different things to different people, but there's one here today that I know he would say, Coach, those games meant everything to me just like they did to you. I can't remember how many you won, I can't remember how many we won, but I can tell you this, Coach Glasgow, it meant an awful lot to both of us, and I'm glad we had that time together. To the referees and umpires for all those games, my wife said if I told you what Tim would say to those referees, she was out of here. So I'm not going to tell you what he would say to them, but I think you know. To the academic faculty at Knox College, here's what Tim would say. Thank you very much for letting one of your students become one of your colleagues and for making me feel that I belong as part of your group. That was a wonderful thing that was done for Tim, and it meant far more to him than I think any of you could ever realize. To the Department of Advancement, he would say it was too short, but it was great. And I appreciated being welcomed by everyone in the department. To all those presidents and deans, For all those years, Tim would say, "Thank you for judging me by criteria above and beyond the verdict of the scoreboard, and for letting me be a coach who taught and being judged on the basis of how my players played and how they felt and where they went from here." But he would also have to say to the current administration of Knox College, "Thank you for making a decision to create a situation where in one of the greatest days of my life, my name went on the court, and it was forever true that what I did and the way I spent my time had value." And he would say to Duke and Nancy and to Tom and Sue, "Thank you for making that possible to be done." And beyond that, he would say, "Thank you for being the greatest friends anyone could ever be." To his players, all those years, we think of basketball boys, but let me tell you, there are football boys and baseball boys and tennis girls who could lay out exactly the same stories that the basketball boys can lay out because of their association with Tim. And they're here, and I'm glad. But here's what he would say to you. He would say, "Thank you very much for listening to me, for letting me know that you heard what I said, for trying so hard whether we had a chance to win or not, and for, in the toughest part of my life, coming forward to make it the best you could make it for me and Kathy as we went down to the end of the trail." And I know that's what he would say to those of you who play. And I think one of the key ingredients here that we can't afford to miss is that that covers a period of time from 1970 until 2009 and covers people who played directly for him, people who played when he was assistant coach, people who played a sport that he never knew a thing about until he became their coach. And they all feel the same. To the parents of those players, I think he would say, "I appreciate your tolerance. I appreciate the fact that although I know I was breaking your heart with many of the decisions I make, you backed me, you supported me, and you encouraged me. Thank you for that." To his sons, here's what I think he'd say. I think he'd say, "Cooper, listen, I appreciate the fact that you set your own target and you marched for it and you got to it, the very top. Kevo, I think he'd say, "What a great friend you have been to me every step of the way. And what a wonderful friend you were to come and help your mom close it out." Christopher, he'd say, "What a deal it's been seeing that you are so much exactly like me. And what a thrill it is for me to know that whatever tension that created is gone and that we're wonderful friends and I can be as proud of you as I am everybody else." Doug, fourth son, here's what he'd say. "Thanks for finding Cammie." He really would. I know. And here's what he'd say, Bammer. He'd say, "You've been everything that a daughter can be. And between you and Doug,
You have given us that one treasure that I appreciate more than anything. Kathy, Tim would say, thanks for being my best friend for all these years. Thanks for being willing to support all the effort and all the time it took to be the guy who could be Tim Hyman Thorpe. Thanks for making the term Nurse Ratched something we love. And I'm very sorry to leave you by yourself, because I love you more than life. And to all of us, he would say, thanks for coming to celebrate my life.
To Harley Nosher, he would say, thank you. And thank you for helping me come to grips with the fact that this is Tim Hyman Court. And that's a huge rest in peace for Tim Hyman. Harley, thank you very much. Okay, now that you're on your 23rd tissue, pass them around. Just a few more minutes, if you will. It really is, I would like another month, and some of you could come down and be a part of this, and we'd all need another month or two, and still not do it justice. We don't have it. It's winter, you've got drives, we've got things to be about, and Tim would want us to be about those things. Tim would want us, as we kind of close out this piece of it, to, David talked about it, and Roger and Bev and Kevin and Sonia and Harley have certainly indicated to it. Cry if you need to cry, mourn if you need to mourn. And then go about your business, be about the day. It's over before you know kind of stuff, you know? So I want you to think about how you're going to carry, because that's what this is about. How are you going to carry Tim Hyman with you? What level of humor are you going to carry? What level of study are you going to carry? What challenge to a thought are you going to carry? What X and O are you going to carry? What love are you going to carry? What treasure are you going to carry? That's what he wants us to think about. So as I make awkward efforts to acknowledge Chad Isley, who's done an incredible job of trying to help put all this together, acknowledge Chad, please do that. And the Rogers and the Bevs of this Knox family, and what an incredible community Knox College is, applaud that thought, please. Thank you. And to the Galesburg community and the Register Mail and the people that write about this man and the people that write about these people and the radio programs that cover it. Small town, big heart. If you're from Galesburg, applaud that. Thank you. Dr. Curry and Susie, if you're out there, marmoset every day is like this. In a card that they sent with a marmoset on the front, and then you turn it over and it says marmoset every day like this. kind of to hang in there. And for the friendship and the Cottage Hospital people, technicians and doctors and nurses, for the incredible care that you provided, and the hospice, Tim would want to say thank you. So as you reflect on this song, I know you all know the words. We could all sing it out loud real strongly.
Nah.
Do this. Reflect as you listen on what you're going to do to celebrate Tim Hyman's life by honoring his legacy and carrying him on. Chad, go. In the understandable clouds of our sadness, Tim would want us to reflect on the sunshine that gets through with pride and love and humor. Following this, we'll have family members here at the K in just a moment. There will be cookies and punch in the foyer. You're certainly welcome to help yourselves. There will be a very serious quarter shoot going on right down here. Some of you don't know what that is, but you'll see it as it unfolds. Kathy, I love you. And if Kathy
and Carrie and Penny and Chris at this venerable pay. Yep.
Tim would be very proud of how unorganized I am now. And in some fashion, you are welcome. Kathy just mentioned to me, it's the first time I've ever been to the K. I would like you to, here's my only challenge. This is my last challenge to all of us, and then we'll go about our business. Reflect today, and remember tomorrow, and remember on Wednesday, and then on May 10th, when Tim would have been 61, remember again, and then send a card in August. And then in 2012, when you kind of have forgotten about it, but you take those, and if you get a life lesson, you can carry it on to the Max and Lucy of your life from Tim Hyman, do that. Stand with me and applaud this incredible group of human beings, please. You are now welcome to laugh with them, cry with them, and carry on. Thank you all for joining us in the celebration at Tim Hyman Court of Tim Hyman's life. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you.